Welcome back to the OU Nachyomi Project and our series on the book of Divrei Hayamim Aleph. In today's shir, we study Perek Chavtet, chapter 29. Chapter 29 will be the last chapter of Divrei Hayamim Aleph. It will also be the last chapter that discusses the story of David HaMelech, which began back in Perek Yud. And it's also very interesting because it contains several psukim, which we say every day in Psukei DeZimra, as we will discuss later on in our shir. The Perek is going to begin as a continuation of what we saw in chapter 28, when David HaMelech gathered all the leaders of the country, bringing them together to Yerushalayim to charge Shlomo in public in regard to building the Beit HaMikdash, and also to encourage the people to help Shlomo in this project. David continues now in Perek Chavtet as follows. Pasuk Aleph. V'yomer David HaMelech l'chol ha'kahal, Shlomo b'ni echad b'char bo Elohim na'varach. Shlomo my son, even though David has many sons, Shlomo was the only son that God had chosen in order to continue this dynasty, and he is still very young and soft. But there's a lot of work to be done. For this building that we're making, the Bira is another name for the Beit HaMikdash. It also means a fortress. This is not a fortress or a building which we're making for man. This is a temple that we are building for God. Therefore, it requires a lot of work. What David HaMelech is hinting to this gathering of important people is that Shlomo, his son, will not be able to do this work by himself. He's going to need your help to get it accomplished. David is going to explain now how he made such a tremendous effort to get everything ready to build this Beit HaMikdash. And later he's going to say, look what I did. I want you people to do the same. Pasuk Bet. Uchachol kochi hachinoti lebeit Elohai. With all my strength, I got everything ready to build this house for my God. Hazahav lezahav. All the gold necessary to construct the golden vessels. Vakesef lekesef. All the silver necessary for what was going to be made out of silver. V'anachoshet l'anachoshet, and all the copper necessary for the copper vessels. V'abrazel l'abrazel, all the iron necessary to make what is ever needed from iron. V'haitzim l'haitzim, all the lumber for whatever needs to be made out of wood. Avnei shoam v'miluim, the different precious stones that are necessary. Avnei puach v'rikma, v'cho evin yikarav avnei shayish l'rov. The list is very similar to the stones that were needed for the priestly garments as described in Sefer Shemot, when we were commanded to build the Mishkan. David HaMelech tells the people, I got all this material ready so that Shlomo can use them to build the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Gimel, V'od b'tzoti b'beit Elohai, in addition to all this, because I so much wanted to build this house for my God, Yeshi Skula, I have a special treasure of Zahav v'chesef, of gold and silver. Natati l'beit Elohai l'mala, in addition to all this, above all this, I've given this extra special treasure of gold and silver for this house for God. I got everything ready to build this holy house, what we call the Beit HaMikdash. Now we get a tally of the amounts that David has collected. 3,000 talents. A kikar zahav is about somewhere between 25 and 30 kilogram, or about 60, 70 pounds of gold. And this is called zahav ofir, most likely from Ophira, somewhere in the area of the Red Sea. So David had collected 3,000 talents of gold from Ophir, v'shivat alafim kikar kesef mezukak, and 7,000 talents of pure silver, latuach kirot abatim, and he was going to use this metal for the plating of the walls. Then he continues to explain in Pasuk Hey, lazahav lazahav, v'lakesef lakesef, ulucho melacha b'yad charashim. He supplied all the gold and the silver for all the work that needs to be done, and that was given to the artisans and the craftsmen who knew how to work with the gold and silver properly. And now David asks the question, who among you is going to now volunteer? Now that David has shown the people, I made my donation, let's see what you people can donate. And sure enough, this works. Pasuk Vav. V'itnatvu sarei ahavot v'sarei shiftei Yisrael. These leaders of the nation and the ministers and the leaders of government of all the tribes, the Sarei Alafim Vameot and the battalion commanders, as we saw before, and the company commanders of the army, with the Sarei Melechet HaMelech and all the officers and ministers in the king's government, Vaitnu Lavorat Beit Elohim, all of them gave a donation for the construction of this house for God, Zahav Kikaraim Chamesht Alafim, 5,000 talents of gold, Vadarkonim Ribo, 10,000 adarkonim. Darkon, in the time of Divrei Hayamim, is a Persian gold coin. In the time of David HaMelech, they weren't called darkonim. That's a Persian name for a gold coin. What this is referring to is that the amount of gold that the people gave back in the time of David HaMelech was equivalent to 10,000 adarkonim of gold in the time of the beginning of Bayit Sheni. The kesef kikaraim, 10,000, and silver, 10,000 talents. This number is very interesting because remember there's another book in the beginning of the Second Temple period called Megillat Esther, and the amount of silver that Haman gives Achashverosh in order to destroy the Jews was 10,000 kikar kesef, which is just the same amount of money that the people here donated for the Beit HaMikdash. Unechoshet ribo 8,000 kikarim, 18,000 talents of silver. A ribo is 10,000, which 8,000 means 18,000. Uberzel 100,000 kikarim, and iron 100,000 talents of iron. Vanimtzai to avanim, anyone who had with them precious stones, that nulo tzar beit Adonai, they donated them to the treasury for the house of God. Ayad yichiel hagershuni. Pasuk tet, vayismechu ha'am al hitnadvam. The people were very happy. Ki belev shalem hitnadvu l'Adonai. They gave this donation with a full heart. Someone based on the background might think that they had been coerced into giving this money because David gathered them together. Here the pasuk tells us that they did this with a full heart, not only because they had to, but because they wanted to. V'gam David ha'melech samach simchat gola. David was also very happy, and his request that the people also donate money was answered. This made David HaMelech happy as well. Starting in Pasuk Yud, we get the famous blessing that David makes at this time. We quote from this every day in Psukei Dezimra. Pasuk Yud, Vayvarech David et Adonai. David blessed God, Leinei kol ha'kahal, in front of the eyes of this entire gathering. Vayomer David. David said as follows, Baruch ata Adonai Elohei Yisrael Avinu, Meolam ve'ad Olam. Here the phrase Elohei Yisrael Avinu is the God of Yaakov Avinu. And you should be blessed forever and ever. Usually we say Elokei Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, or Elohei Avotenu. Why Elohei Yisrael Avinu? What most commentators bring down here is something which is obvious, because David HaMelech is at this time making all these preparations to build a house for God. The first of our forefathers to mention this idea of building a house for God was Yaakov Avinu, in the famous neder, in the famous vow that he makes after God appeared to him in Beit El, where Yaakov made a neder and said, Ha'evan azot asher samti matzeva yeh beit Elohim, v'cho asher titen li aser asenu lach. Yaakov made a pledge that the site where God appeared to him one day hopefully would become a house for God. And he agreed to donate and dedicate one-tenth of his income in order to support this Beit Elohim. Unfortunately, Yaakov Avinu was never able to fulfill that neder, but now his offspring, the great-great-grandchildren of Yaakov Avinu, the nation of Israel, has finally been able to reach a point where they can fulfill that neder and build a proper house for God. Therefore, it's very fitting when David HaMelech blesses God here, he blesses the God of Yisrael Avinu. David continues now in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Lecha Adonai HaGdula, to you, God, you deserve this greatness. If we were writing this with a word processor, the word Lecha would be bolded. The point David HaMelech is making, even though we've amassed all this wealth and donated it, all this wealth really belongs to you. You deserve all the greatness. Lecha Hashem HaGdula, V'Hagvura V'Hatiferet V'Hanesach V'Hod. We attribute all this greatness to you, this might, this splendor, this netzach, nitzachon, that's triumph and victory, this majesty, the hod. Ki chov ha-shamayim va'aretz, everything in the heavens and earth belongs to you. Lecha Adonai ha-mamlecha, the kingdom belongs to you. Va'minasei lechol ha-rosh, you're much higher than any other leader. Anyone who's a rosh, anyone who's a leader, you're much higher than they are. And therefore, you deserve all this greatness. Pasuk Yud Bet, va'osher v'chavod mefanecha, all these riches and all this honor is for you, and you can do with it as you please. V'ata Moshe Bakol, you're in charge and control everything. Uviyadcha koach ugvura, it's in your hand all this strength and power. Uviyadcha legadel ulechazek lakol, and it is in your power to make anyone great and strong. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Therefore, v'ata Eloheinu modim anachnu lach, we're thanking you for all this. U'mahalalim l'shem tifartecha, and we're now going to praise your glorious name. Before we continue our study of Perek Chavtet, notice that from Pasuk Yud through Pasuk Yud Gimel, which we just finished reading, is exactly what we quote every day in Tfilat Shacharit, in our morning prayers, in the middle of the section called Psukei Dezimra. I want to dedicate the next several minutes to try to explain why specifically these verses are chosen in our daily Tfilah, the Psukei Dezimra. We explained when we studied chapter 16 in Divrei Yamim Aleph, that when David HaMelech brought the Aron to Yerushalayim, he chose to quote from Tehillim Kufei, chapter 105 in Tehillim, which began, Hodu L'Adonai Kiru B'Shmo Hodiyu Bamim Alilotav. And when we studied that chapter in Tehillim, and its parallel in Divrei Hayamim, we showed how David HaMelech was making a very powerful statement, that just like God watches our history and remembers the covenant of Brit Ben Abtarim, so too we have to remember our covenant obligation of Brit Ben Abtarim, which according to that psalm, is that Am Yisrael has to constantly praise God, talk about how great He is, and constantly praise Him. We explained that that may be one of the sources for why there's an entire section of our daily prayers which is dedicating to praising God. In that section of praise, every morning that we call Psukei Dezimra, we have an opening blessing and a closing blessing. In the opening blessing, Baruch Shamar Baya Olam, we thank and bless the God who created everything. And the last phrase we say is Baruch Shmo, let His name be blessed. The concluding bracha, Yishtabach Shimcha Lad Malkeinu. Once again, we talk about God's great name. Now, in theory, every generation or every person could decide on his own what type of praise to sing to God, or could even write his own praises. What we do instead, as we say in the conclusion of the bracha Baruch Shamar, when we make the blessing, we basically say in front of God that instead of our writing our own praises, we're going to quote what David HaMelech wrote and use his psalms to praise you every day. I'll quote once again from our daily tefillot in Baruch Shamar. We say, Uvishirei David Avdecha, using the songs of David, your servant, Mehalelcha Adonai Eloheinu, we're going to praise you, Hashem our God. Bishvachot uvizmirot negadelcha unshabechacha nofuercha. Using these praises and songs, we're going to make you great and praise your name and glorify you. V'nazkir shimcha v'namlichacha. We're going to mention your name or your reputation and make you king. Malkeinu Eloheinu, Hashem our God. Then we conclude the blessing. Meshubachum fuara adayad shmo hagadol. Your great name, your shmo hagadol, is praised and glorified for eternity. And we conclude, Brochat Hashem, Melech Mohula Batishpachot. Basically, what we're saying before we begin Sukkot Zimra is that we're using the praises that David HaMelech wrote in order to praise you on a daily basis. Therefore, it's not by chance that the first section that we quote is from chapter 16 in Divrei Hamim, which is built on Tehillim Kufei, Avodu L'Hashem Kiru Bishmo, Hodiyo Bamim, Alilotav, Shiru Lo Zamru Lo. Afterwards, we read the last six chapters of Tehillim, from Tehillah LeDavid till the last chapter of Tehillim, which is sort of a short way of reading the entire book of Tehillim. In fact, when we finish reading these six chapters, we quote three or four psukim, which appear to be random quotes from Tehillim, but if you look at them, Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen, Baruch Hashem Etzion Shechenu Shem Hallelujah, and Baruch Hashem Elohim Elohei Yisrael Sanifu Levado, if you look carefully, those quotes from Tehillim are at the end of the different books of Tehillim. We take a quote from the end of book 2, from the end of book 3, and from the end of book 4, according to some Shitot, and we use those to conclude our daily recitation of Tehillim, which is sort of like saying, we should have read all those entire books of Tehillim, but we're simply quoting the last line of the book. We conclude that section. Then we quote Vayvarech David, which is what we just studied in Divrei Hayamim. In light of that blessing and the background, it makes perfect sense why we're quoting from this blessing that David gives the people at this time. When David was explaining to his son Shlomo HaMelech why he wanted to build a house for God, he emphasized, and we saw that back in chapter 22, in Perach HaBet, Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer David b'Shlomo, David told Shlomo, Beni, my son, Ani hayem levavi livnot bayit l'shem Adonai Elohai. It was my intention to build a house for God's name, but we explained many times for his reputation. God told me that I couldn't, but instead, you're going to have a son, and he'll be an Ish Melucha. And then in Pasuk Yud, in chapter 22, Hu yivne bayit lishmi. He'll be the one who built a house for my name. And all through David's explanations, throughout Divrei Yamim, and in Sefer Shmuel, and for sure in Tehillim, David HaMelech explains over and over again that the goal in building this Beit HaMikdash is not simply a place to feed God and offer korbanot, but more so a place to make God's name known, sanctified, and glorified. First and foremost, to be a reminder to the people of Israel of their special connection to God and their covenantal obligation to represent Him and serve Him. And we do that by keeping the mitzvot and creating this model of society that will make a name for God. And secondly, not only acting in a proper manner, but also, after acting in a proper manner, gathering together and singing God's praises and making His name known, those two focal points of being Jewish is what can get the job accomplished. Because if we only talk about God and don't act properly, God won't look good. If we only act properly and don't talk about God, the message won't be understood and passed down from generation to generation. Therefore, both together are the winning formula that will help achieve God's goal for His people. When David finally is able to accomplish this goal, he's reached our full borders. He's achieved peace with our nations around. He's established a dynasty. He's about to pass on that dynasty to his son Shlomo. They've reached Shalom v'Sheket. He has a son named Shlomo. And his hope is now that Shlomo will continue to follow God's laws properly. As David thanks God for everything that he's accomplished. And then he makes this very powerful statement when he blesses God in front of the people. Lecha Adonai Hagdula V'Gvura V'Tiferet. All this glory and praise belongs to you. After David accomplished so much and donated so much wealth, people would think, this is making David look good. How are we going to make sure that even though David is doing all the work, how do we translate that to glorifying God and not David? That's exactly the challenge that we have as a nation. And not only as a nation, that's also the challenge we have as individuals. How do we accomplish and achieve and do great things, but at the same time, attribute all that greatness to the God of Israel? It's exactly that point that David emphasizes throughout these four psukim that we quote every day. Lecha Adonai Hamamlecha. The kingdom, even though I'm king, the kingdom belongs to you. Ba'osher v'chavad milfanecha. All this wealth and glory is for you. Uviyadcha kolach u'gvura. You're the one with all the power and the strength. And therefore, v'ata Eloheinu modim anachnu lach u'mahalim l'shem tifartecha. Therefore, we're thanking you and praising your glorious name. Therefore, this quote of this praise of David HaMelech fits perfectly with the whole theme of Psukei Dezimra. It also fits perfectly with our introduction to Psukei Dezimra, where we said, "V'shirei David Avdecha Nehalacha Hashem Elokeinu." We're going to praise you using the words that David HaMelech wrote and composed for this purpose. So even though the psukim that we're quoting in Vayvarech David are not part of Sefer Tehillim, they're definitely part of the praises that David HaMelech wrote. And in doing so, David HaMelech fulfilled the goal of Psukei Dezimra. And therefore, when we say Psukei Dezimra every day, it's very fitting that we quote from this speech. Two other interesting points. In Pasuk Yud, when David says, "Vayomer David, Bruch Atah Adonai Elohei Yisrael Avinu, Me'olam Ve'ad Olam," that phrase, Bruch Atah Hashem, which we say so often in our daily prayers, to our surprise, this is the only time in Tanakh that we actually have a blessing in this format. There's actually one other place in Sefer Tehillim, in the famous Tehillim Kuf Yotet, Psalm 119, and for every letter of the alphabet, we have eight pesukim, which is the longest parak in Tehillim. There in Pasuk Yud Bet, we have a short pasuk, Bruch Atah Adonai Lamdeinu Chukecha, where David HaMelech thanks God for teaching me your laws. But other than that short mention in Tehillim Kuf Yotet, this is the only time we find a full blessing, Bruch Atah Hashem, the source of the brachot that we say every single day in davening, which we're so familiar with, is here in David HaMelech's blessing when he gathers the nation together to get to work on the Beit HaMikdash, which is going to be dedicated to making God's name known. One final point, this parak is being studied during the holiday of Sukkot. During the holiday of Sukkot, we're focusing on a very similar challenge. Moshe Rabbeinu in chapter 8 in Sefer Devarim explains about the spiritual dangers of the land of Israel, that when we come to the land of Israel, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, Eretz Chita v'Sora v'Gefen v'Tena v'Rimon. And there Moshe Rabbeinu continues and says, "Be careful, Yishamer lecha, pen tishkach t'Hashem Elokecha," from all this good that God's giving you, you might forget God. And instead of v'achalta v'savata v'berachta, instead of reaching prosperity and thanking God, you might ramla vavach, you might become haughty, and say, "Kochi v'otzem yedi asad le'techayel hazeh." Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu warns them throughout that chapter, remember the desert experience. Remember your 40 years in the desert that God fed you man. And you learned from that experience, "Ki lo alechem levado yichi adam, ki al komotza pi Hashem yichi adam." According to Moshe Rabbeinu, the purpose of the desert experience was to train the people to understand, even though you're doing most of the work, you have to treat it as though God gave it to you like the manna. For that reason, we have the holiday of Sukkot specifically at the end of our fruit harvest, when we've gathered all of our fruits from the field, exactly the time of year when there's the biggest fear that people will come and become haughty from that prosperity, and people will come and think, "Kochi v'atzam yadi asal le'techayel hazeh. It's because of me I amassed all this wealth." And they'll forget about God. God tells Am Yisrael at the time of Chag HaSif, when you're thanking God for your agriculture and you're gathering your fruits, go leave your houses, go out and sit in a sukkah and remember the desert experience. Not to remember what happened, but to remember why it happened. Remember why it was necessary for this first generation to be prepared for the spiritual challenges of the land of Israel. And therefore, you too, every year in Sukkot, we leave our homes precisely at the time when we harvest our fields to remember the same message of Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Devarim Parachet, which we're saying here is the same message that David HaMelech is giving to the people. Even though he's achieved so much and he has every reason to become haughty himself, David HaMelech attributes all that greatness to God. With that background, it's very meaningful that we quote from these psukim every day in Psukei Dezimra. After quoting these psukim in Psukei Dezimra, we jump to a quote from Nehemiah Perek Tet, where Ezra and Nehemiah have gathered the people together and making a very similar gathering in the beginning of the Second Temple period. And it's very fitting to our theme of Divrei Hayamim, a book written in the Second Temple period, projecting back to all the great achievements of the First Temple period. We're actually doing the same thing every day in Psukei Dezimra, where first we quote David HaMelech's address to the nation, thanking God as they're about to build the First Temple. And right in the middle of that quote, we jump to the beginning of the Second Temple period, when Ezra and Nehemiah gathered the entire nation together and thank God for their achievements and express their hope once again as they're rebuilding the Second Temple and reorganizing the nation in the time period of Shivat Zion, that their generation, hopefully, will be even more successful than the first generation. With that in mind, let's continue now with Pasuk Yedaled. V'chi mi ani umi ami. For who am I and who is my nation? Ki na'atzor koach litnadev kazot. That we have the ability to gather together all this wealth and be able to give it to you. Ki mimcha hakol umiyadcha natanu lach. Because really, everything that we're giving you belongs to you in the first place. And we're simply giving you something that you gave us. Pasuk Tedvav, ki gerim anachnu lefanecha, because we're like strangers in front of you. V'toshavim kochol avotenu, and we are temporary inhabitants of the land. Recall Avram Avinu uses the same words when he stands in front of Bnei Chet, asking and pleading to buy from them a burial plot, even though he's a foreigner in the land. He says, ger v'toshav anachi imachem. We also have that same phrase in the end of chapter 25 in Sefer Vayikra, at the end of the laws of Yovel and Shemitah. God explains, Kili kol haaretz, the whole land belongs to me, to God. Ki geri v'toshavim etemi madi. David uses those same words now in his prayer to God, explaining why everything that they're giving to God really belongs to him in the first place. Pasuk tetzav, ki gerim anachnu lefanecha, v'toshavim kechol avoteinu. Kitzel yameinu al haaretz, v'ein mikveh. Our life on the land is like a passing shade. V'ein mikveh, and there's no hope that anyone can live forever like God does. David HaMelech is using all these phrases to express his humility in front of God. Pasuk tetzayin, Adonai Eloheinu, Hashem our God. Kol ha'amon hazeh, asher achinonu. All this mass wealth which we have prepared for you, livnot lecha bayit l'shem kodshecha, in order to build a house for the sake of your holy name, miyadcha hu u'lecha hakol. Everything we're giving is really from you, it's from your hand, and it all belongs to you anyhow. V'yadati Elohai. David says, now I know my God. Ki ata bochen levav. You're the one who really discerns what's in someone's heart. U'mesharim tirtzeh. And you're the God who wants good deeds. David HaMelech is making one of the most important points in relation to building a temple for God. The purpose of the temple is not to feed God. The purpose of the temple is to remind man who comes before God how God expects him to act. So for sure we need to glorify God and make a building that represents his presence among us. But the goal of that is to remind ourselves that God knows what we're thinking and demands that we act in a proper way. U'mesharim tirtzeh. You want and desire straight and honest behavior. Ani biyosher levavi hinadavti ko'ele. I, with a straight heart and a true heart, have made this donation. Vata, and now amcha nimtzu po. It's your nation that's found here. Ra'iti b'simcha li'nadev lach. I see that they are also rejoicing to give this free will offering in front of you. And hence, please accept it from them. Pasuk yedchet, Adonai Elohei Abraham Yitzchak v'Yisrael Avotenu. Now David turns to God, the God of our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Shamra zot lo'olam. Keep and remember our deeds now forever. To remember the inclinations and the thoughts of our heart, of the heart of your people, and help prepare their hearts to serve you. We saw this phrase in chapter 28, this idea of Yetzer Machshavot, and back then we related it to the story of the flood, where God was disappointed with man's behavior, and saw that Yetzer Machshavot libo rak rak kol hayamim, and now David HaMelech is trying to make things better, saying now the Yetzer Machshavot of your nation is prepared to serve you, the exact opposite of the generation of the flood. And the last phrase, V'achen levavam elecha, David HaMelech is praying to God that help our nation prepare their hearts for you, is based on a beautiful chapter in Tehillim, Psalm Ayin Chet, Psalm 78, a maskil Asaf. Remember, Asaf was David's chief composer. In that psalm where he goes all through Jewish history, that psalm begins with a reminder to the people that they must pass over their history from generation to generation. In Pasuk Vav, Leman Yidu Dor Acharon, Banim Yivaledu Yakumu V'Yisapru Livnehem. So the next generation will pass on to the generation after them and tell their children. Pasuk Chet, Lo Yiyu Kavotam Dor Sorel Moreh. Dor Lo Echin Libo. They shouldn't be like the generation of their forefathers, the generation that came out of Egypt that was not ready for redemption. Dor Asher Lo Echin Levavo. A rebellious generation that did not prepare its heart. That chapter in Tehillim continues to explain the rebellious behavior of Am Yisrael in the desert. And then again in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, in a summary, it says, V'libam lo nachonimo, v'lo nemnu b'vrito. Their heart wasn't ready and prepared for God, and therefore, they were not faithful to their covenant. Continued by Pasuk Lamed Ched, V'hu rachum yechad peravon v'lo yashchit v'rebel l'shivapo v'dir kochamato. The Pasuk we quote all the time in our prayers. There we pray that God should forgive us because we're only human. Then the psalm continues to talk about all the great things that God did for us coming out of Egypt. And finally, at the end, it talks about how David HaMelech is different than all the leaders beforehand. In Pasuk Samachet, Vayivchar et Shevet Yehuda v'et Har Tzion asher ahev, Vayiven k'mo ra'amim mikdashok, Vayivchar b'David avdo v'kecheu b'mikhotzon. The parak talks about how God chose the tribe of Yehuda to represent him. And from the entire tribe of Yehuda, he chose David to be the leader of his people. Conclude with the request to lead the people in the proper path, prepare their hearts in a proper way. In other words, David HaMelech is saying, both here in Divrei Hayamim, that they learned the message from Chumash, that Am Yisrael was not ready for redemption. Now they've reached a point in Jewish history where they're ready to appreciate the redemption. They see the hand of God in all their successes, and now they want to thank God and continue to grow in the proper direction. Note also the Pasuk Yedchet that we just read in Divrei Hayamim Perek Haftet. We quote every day in Uvala Tzion after we say the Psukim of Kedusha of Ruch Kvod Hashem Yimkomo, and translate it into Aramaic, we begin our quote of various psukim, specifically with this pasuk, and based on this background, for a very good reason. Now that David finished thanking God on behalf of the nation, Now he turns to God and puts in a special prayer for his son Shlomo. Pasuk Yotet, verse 19. V'li Shlomo b'ni, for Shlomo my son, ten levav shalem lishmor mitzvotecha. Give him a complete heart in order to be able to keep your commandments, edotecha v'chukecha, your laws and your statutes. V'lasot hakol, to be able to do everything, v'livnot habira asher achinoti, and enable him to build this fortress or this palace which I prepared for you. This is the second time in this chapter that the word bira, fortress, is used to describe the Beit HaMikdash. In Sefer Melachim, we don't find this word to describe the Beit HaMikdash. We only find this word in the Second Temple period, in the books of Megillat Esther, in Ezra Nehemiah, and here in Divrei Hayamim. It's very interesting because it's quite clear from Divrei Hayamim that the word bira refers specifically to the Beit HaMikdash. In Megillat Esther, we have the name Shushana Bira. The word bira refers to a capital city. Anyone familiar, though, with a more in-depth study of Megillat Esther, this may allude to a certain prophetic sarcasm about the Jews being in Shushan HaBirah, where they belong in Yerushalayim HaBirah. In Sefer Nehemiah, Yerushalayim is known as Yerushalayim HaBirah, Yerushalayim the capital city, because the Beit HaMikdash, the Birah, is in Yerushalayim. When the Jews had left Israel and gone into exile, but they could have returned in the time of Koresh, but they remained in Shushan during the time of Achashverosh, calling Shushan, Shushan HaBirah, might be alluding to the fact that the Jews should have been returning to Yerushalayim in the time of Beit Sheni. They should have returned to build the Mikdash in the time of Koresh, but by staying in Shushan and making Shushan the Bira, that might be alluding to a prophetic criticism of the Jews who stayed behind and didn't make Aliyah. Pasachav. V'emar David l'chol ha'kahal. After David finished praying to God, now he turns to the congregation that had gathered and listened to his speech and commands them, Baruchu nat Adonai Elohechem. It's time for you now to bless God. I just bless God. I want you to follow, and you bless God. The congregation responded positively. They also blessed God, the God of their forefathers, and they bowed down in front of God, and also thanked the king. They brought olot and shlamim, they brought burnt offerings and peace offerings to God. On the next day, parim elef, elim elef, kvasim elef, beniskehem, uzvachim l'rov l'cho Yisrael. 1,000 oxen, 1,000 rams, 1,000 sheep, together with the necessary libations, the nesachim, which would be the wine and the flour that go with every korban, that we mention every day in Musaf, and zvachim or shlamim, enough for all of Israel to eat. Basically, we would call this a big flesh of kiddush. Vayichlu vayishtu lifnei Adonai bayamahu, besimchat gola. They ate and they drank in front of God on that day with great rejoicing. And now for the second time, they're going to coronate Shlomo, the son of David, to anoint him as a leader over Israel, and also Tzadok to be the high priest. Now we're going to describe how successful this coronation was. Pasuk Chav Gimel, verse 23. Vayeshev Shlomo al kisei Adonai lemelech, tachat David aviv vayatzlach. Shlomo melech sat on the throne of God to be king instead of David his father. This doesn't say that Shlomo is sitting on God's throne. Shlomo is sitting on the throne of the king of the household of David, which is the kingdom that represents the God of Israel. And the pasuk emphasizes that his kingdom now became successful and all of Israel accepted him. V'chol ha'sarim v'giburim, all the ministers and the officers and all the wealthy and influential people, v'gam kol b'nei ha'melech David, also the other sons of the king David, who might have been his competition, that nuya tachat Shlomo HaMelech, they all now accepted Shlomo's kingdom. We have unity, and everyone is accepted Shlomo as the next king. That acceptance will enable Shlomo to continue and actually build the Beit HaMikdash. Ve'egdeo Adonai Shlomo l'mala, Hashem helped Shlomo grow higher and higher and more successful. Le'enei kol Yisrael, in the eyes of all of Israel. There's a slight reminder here to the last pasuk in Chumash, where we have the same phrase, Le'enei kol Yisrael. And God helped give Shlomo the majesty of this kingdom, and there was no other king before him in Israel that received such acceptance and glory as now that was received by Shlomo. The last 5 psukim will be a summary of this time period. Pasuk Chavav, David ben Yishai malach al kol Yisrael. David was king over all of Israel. Ve'amim asher malach Yisrael 40 shana. He was king over Israel for 40 years. Ve'chavron malach 7 shanim. Uv'yushalayim malach 33. The first 7 years, he was king in Hebron, and then when the nation was unified, he reigned in Yerushalayim for the next 33 years. Vayamot b'seva tova, he died in old age, sva yamim osher b'chavod, full of years, with wealth and honor. Vayimloch Shlomo b'notachtav, Shlomo's son became king after him. And now we have the final summary. V'divrei David HaMelech HaRishonim V'achronim. In case a person wants more information about David, if you want the stories of David the king, of his early years and of his later years, Hinam k'tuvim adivrei Shmuel HaRoeh, v'adivrei Natan HaNavi, v'adivrei Gad HaChoseh. You can find them in the works of Shmuel the prophet. That's not our book of Shmuel. Our book of Sefer Shmuel quotes from the works of Shmuel HaRoeh, and also quotes from the works of Natan HaNavi and Gad HaChoseh. However, unfortunately, we don't have those works by themselves. We only have selective quotes from those books in our book of Shmuel and our book of Divrei HaYamim. That's why Chazal claim the book of Sefer Shmuel that we have today is a collection of prophecies from these three different Nevi'im, Shmuel, Gad, and Natan. In Kol Machuto Gvuroto, those books include all the stories of his kingdom and his great deeds, the Aitim Asher Avru Alav Al Yisrael, and the events that happened to him and over all of Israel, the Alkom Amlechot Harzot, and everything that happened, the different kingdoms of the earth, all those stories can be found in those books. Our book of Divrei HaYamim focused primarily, as we explained, on all the efforts David does to unify the country, to make Yerushalayim the capital, and to build the Beit HaMikdash for God in Yerushalayim. If you want more details about David HaMelech, you'll find them in these other sources. That concludes our study of Divrei HaYamim Aleph. In our next year, we're going to begin Divrei HaYamim Bet, which begins with the story of how Shlomo HaMelech becomes king and builds the Beit HaMikdash.